we are still day one for that. And not saying that this is the best experience possible, but it's very promising that it has still delivered the value which people were not expecting. And I think the roadmap, if you look at what is possible, I think that looks very promising.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Goldman, and this is Future Proof.
So before COVID, we recorded a few episodes live at conferences, and obviously we haven't done that in quite a while. But there have been a lot of virtual events that have been really interesting to check out, and I'm sure you've been to a few of them. One of the companies that's powering those types of virtual events is Airmeet, and that's why I wanted to speak to their co-founder and CEO, Lalit Mangal. Today, we're discussing how COVID democratized access to events, the pros and cons of all the virtual programming we're seeing crop up these days, and what hybrid events are going to look like as some of us are trying to return to quote-unquote normal. It's a fascinating discussion, so let's jump right in.
Lalit, welcome to Future Proof.
Thanks, Jeremy. Good to be here.
Yeah, no, it's great to speak to you from about approximately, 9.5 hours into the future, as I put it. I wanted to ask you, who are you and what do you do on a day-to-day basis? How do you define your work?
Sure. So my name is Lalit, and I'm the co-founder and CEO of Airmeet, a virtual events platform focused on better engagement. And on a day-to-day basis, my team and I are solving for delivering tangible outcomes to organizations through virtual events.
I'm glad that you mentioned the tangibility and the ROI of that, because I definitely want to get into that with you a little bit, challenge you a bit in that, because it's obviously it's a really exciting world, but it's new to a lot of people also. I'm curious, from your own perspective, how did COVID democratize access to live events?
So there are two big factors, right, which resulted into democratization of events. The first was emergence of all-in-one tools like Airmeet, which took away a lot of hassle from setting up, managing the event. And the second thing that, you know, fueled the democratization was the availability and inclination of experts to participate and share their knowledge through virtual events. If these two things would not have been available at the same time, we wouldn't have seen the surge of virtual events like we did.
What's interesting to me about that is I remember when our podcast went remote instead of recording in a studio on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. And it was interesting because all of a sudden we were speaking to people from all over the world, and that was great. And yet there was something that was lost, I felt, by not being able to be in person. And maybe it was because it was foisted on us by unfortunate circumstances as opposed to a choice. And that's what I want to ask you about is I feel like some people within the tech community, maybe it's just the people that I speak to, have been a little too cheery about how COVID was great for events in the sense that there were so many. But the challenge was some of them had tech issues. Not all of them were high quality. It was hard to get attendees because everybody else was marketing events. Where do you stand on that? Was this ultimately good for the future of events, or what are your thoughts?
I would agree with you that we have seen far too many virtual events, and mostly because the barrier to entry for anybody to organize a virtual event is much, much lower. Right? Having said that, it still requires skill, planning, and access to experts for pulling off a great event. Just because you could host an event virtually doesn't guarantee that it is going to be a success. Right? And content uniqueness and quality is by far the biggest factor which determines the success and turnout of your event. Right? And not many people are great at it. That brings me to the real benefit of virtual events that the world can actually realize is the proliferation of niche topics and cutting-edge domains, right? So these are the areas where practitioners and experts are spread across the world. It's difficult for them to get on a plane and come and share their knowledge with the world. So virtual can actually be a great boon for niche topics and cutting-edge domains where new knowledge could be constructed.
I think that, frankly, that gives you a lot of credibility because you're not somebody who is enabling virtual events who just says, what are you talking about? Every single virtual event in the world is top-notch and fantastic. You have a pragmatic approach to looking at it, which I really like. As of today, how would you describe the current state of the events industry? Because I think it's interesting, obviously, we've had a lot of steps forward in terms of live events, but in terms of the events offline, I feel like there's obviously been so much disruption and some top people haven't really worked on an event in over a year. So if you were going to talk about the current state of events in general, what would you say about it?
Absolutely. So according to me, event industry is going through a big transformation, and especially events which are focused on content and knowledge, right? Entertainment events, they are not experiencing too much of a transformation because highly likely that the world, once it opens up, entertainment events are going to be purely physical again. It's only the knowledge-focused events or information events, right, where the experience, the transformation is significant, right? And events are actually getting unbundled into composite value propositions. So traditionally, event was a bundle of content, connections, and, you know, its coverage for brands. And the legacy physical events would put everything together, and it would be hard to, you know, understand what is content, what is connections, are you there for connections, are you there for content? It was like a mixed bundle, right? But what has happened with digital events is that there has been a very special treatment for events which are focused on content. There is a much different treatment again for events which are focused on connections. So I think event industry is going to get transformed and we will see unbundling of it.
It's really interesting that you say that, because as I'm thinking about it, it's frankly something I hadn't really thought so much about, is that if I'm in an auditorium and I'm absorbing some content versus if I'm doing that online, I'm not losing that much by having to do that online. But where I have personally found the greatest loss is the opportunities for networking. And I have seen, obviously, some platforms and some events try to do that. But it seems to me, and tell me what you're experiencing, that networking is the thing that maybe is a little bit harder to translate to a virtual environment.
Absolutely, Jeremy. Networking is hard to translate, but then there are even platforms and solutions like AirMeet itself, where we are sharply focused on delivering the same serendipitous environment for an event. We have seen many customers, they host their content sessions on a different platform, and then they just host the networking experience on AirMeet. So that is unbundling right there. And we are still day one for that. And not saying that this is the best experience possible, but it's very promising that it has still delivered the value which people were not expecting. And I think the roadmap, if you look at what is possible, I think that looks very promising.
And I think that there are a lot of people who maybe don't have the, I don't want to say vision, but there are some people who aren't looking far enough ahead to think like you and I. We were not able to have this type of, imagine 30 years ago, where we would have it on a really bad phone connection. We wouldn't be looking at each other. It would cost a lot of money. So when people say that you'll never get networking through a digital experience, that just makes me think maybe it's harder and maybe the time horizon is a little bit longer, but surely it's something that's possible if the right efforts are put into it.
Absolutely agree, Jeremy. Yeah. And when it comes to relationships between human beings, there is a lot of evolutionary baggage, right? So as a species, we have evolved depending on only the sensory information as the only source of information. And hence our brains give a lot of importance to what we can feel and sense. But in today's hyper-connected world, there are so many more sources of information. For example, you can get to know more about me without meeting me at all. So with this hyper-connected world, I think the reliance and dependence on sensory information, in-person experiences, that is actually going to be lesser. And things like the rise of fully remote companies, where people have not even met each other, and they are shipping great products together, building great organizations together. Those incidences and those occurrences, and just the surge of all of that, is like a proof that the reliance on in-person experiences is not necessary.
Yeah, I think that it's true. A lot of the advancements technologically, they have to live alongside the fact that we are genetically wired in a certain way. So I like to say that technology will bring us to a certain point, and then there'll be certain kind of innate things where we just realize we maybe have some things programmed into our biology that we just have to hack out. But we're not there yet. There's obviously a lot of things that we can still do that play with the biology we've inherited from our ancestors. I wanted to ask you, also, when we're talking events. I know you mentioned and delineated a little bit. Maybe we could talk a little bit more how you delineate between the future of B2B events and B2C large-scale entertainment ones. Like, what are the differences, if any, in terms of how those two are going to evolve in the near future in a hybrid environment?
So when it comes to informational events, there is not much of a difference between B2B and B2C. But when it comes to entertainment events, it requires much less commitment. Or rather, let me put it in a way that informational events requires commitment from the participant side. And there is some bit of an exclusivity attached to the authority of the organizer that will, you know, motivate the participant to stick to a screen and sit through the entire event. But when it comes to entertainment, when the world opens up, there'll be so many more alternatives. I could step out of the house and I could be going to anything which is happening nearby. The expectation that people would stick to a screen and sit through an entire music concert, that would be not be the right expectation. So entertainment events would most likely come back because people really want to feel that energy and the multi-sensory experience. But that's not the case with information-focused events.
And it's funny that you said that in the sense that, again, I started thinking about my own consumption habits over the last year. I've been to a lot of B2B events this past year. I also generally go to a lot of them in person, just like I go to a lot of concerts. I have seen a grand total of zero concerts this year because to me, and part of it was there were a lot of them, and part of it was the production value was low, and part of it was it just doesn't resonate or give you that same type of experience. And in a weird way, it's the very fact that not everybody in the world can attend that particular event that just seems to make it pop and make it feel a little bit more special. And frankly, that's something that I feel like I wonder or worry if the specialness of concerts and things like that will go away if everybody can be there at any point by clicking one button. Or do you think that doesn't represent what direction we're going in?
So certainly things like virtual reality can make it actually possible because entertainment-focused events would actually require a little more immersive experience for you to be realizing the value of it, right? Because you're not expecting just audio input in your ears. You're actually expecting a lot more immersion into the experience, which was possible in physical events. But that could be possible through virtual reality eventually. But until then, I think knowledge-focused events and content-focused events, they have a much better chance of thriving on virtual format.
Yeah, and I think that going to your own experience this year, clearly some investors thought that it makes a lot of sense to look at virtual events seriously and not believe that things are going to go entirely back to normal and that we'll have at the very least a lot of hybrid events. Otherwise, you wouldn't have been able to raise money for your business during a pandemic. What was that process like, first off, and what's the general sense from the investment community about whether or not virtual events are here to stay?
I think investment community is very bullish on the transformation of events, and particularly because events have been big value movers for the economy, right? Because events is where people bring their presence to, and real value can get unlocked through those conversations. Through just being mere present in an event can actually unlock value for you. So they were value movers, but then a lot of expenditure in the event category was going into material expenditure. And what technology is promising to deliver is like absolute dematerialization of events. And if it is successful in doing that, then I think a bulk of the cost is going to go away and then it will become democratized and it will become a big, I would say, source of value for in general for the economy, right? So it's very promising from an investment point of view. So there was a very high interest and a lot of startups actually emerged. A lot of event tech startups also pivoted into virtual events. A lot of new startups also came in. A lot of investment dollars went into the space. We ourselves actually raised back-to-back from seed to Series A in the midst of the pandemic. It was a fully remote experience for us. Throughout the entire pandemic, what we have seen is that it wasn't just a one-to-one translation of events. What I mean by that is the number of virtual events were far more than the events that were planned in 2020. So that is a signal that somewhere there is a big excitement and big demand for this technology. And you're right that hybrid is definitely a near-term reality of events. All the events which existed pre-COVID, they would have the budgets to go back to, let's say, some form of physical, and maybe hybrid would be that nature. But what we've seen is a much, much larger number of events which were born digitally. And we internally call all those events as digitally native events. For all those digitally native events, the whole hassle of going back, like, it has to be worth it, right? And in future, what we'll see is that there will be hybrid events, there will be fully virtual events, and there will be fully physical events. The physical events will be very exclusive, which people would organize for a very special segment of their audience. And there will be much larger segment of virtual only events, which would be the whole mid-market and SMB segment is going to push forward the growth of virtual events. And there will be hybrid, where enterprises and big companies will have the budgets to still retain a physical component, and they would be driving the whole growth of hybrid.
That's what I want to ask you actually about, is that hybrid events, I feel like everybody's talking about hybrid events are going to be the new normal this year, but I feel like people are not necessarily thinking about what exactly hybrid means. Because if you think about it, you can have something that is 1% virtual and 99% physical, or you can have something in the inverse. There's a lot of flavors of that, if you will. And there's not going to be any type of typical hybrid event. But what do you think like a hybrid model more specifically looks like? Is it like all the content is available virtually and all the networking and everything, and you just have a dual track experience? What will that look like?
Sure. So in a typical hybrid event, the first portion to go hybrid would be the stage, right? Where experts or panelists, they would prefer to join remotely. So you would very often, you might most likely find of the five panelists, three are joining remotely and two are present in person. So stage would be the first one to go hybrid. Then there will be a lot of emphasis on pre-event networking. Pre-event, so all the networking that would be conducted digitally, most likely pre-event, where the entire participation of a whole audience can participate, irrespective of where they are, right? And there will be then the in-person agenda will be a mirror image of the virtual agenda, where they will have their own tracks, but then it has to be like a mirror of the agenda, because people who are joining in virtually would not want to miss out on at least the set agenda for the event. There might definitely be more conversations out of serendipity at a physical event, but that's fine.
The way that I think about it is that if there are these big events that are worth it to attend in person, then surely I'm going to try to attend in person at the very least, because I haven't had the chance to do that in a while. And then I imagine there are some people who maybe they didn't like to travel, or they were more price sensitive, and they'll look at it and they'll say, listen, if there's a virtual option for that same event, I'm just going to stay home. I'm never going to go back to that experience. So I think that going back to the way that we're wired, each person seems to be wired a little bit differently, and we'll have a little bit of a different response in this new normal about what type of experience they're going to be craving going forward.
Totally agree. And there are many surveys which the event industry has conducted, and a very encouraging 65% of participants would love to join in, you know, totally virtually, remotely.
So I want to ask you also, we talked a little bit about in-person being a higher fidelity experience, and I'm wondering, is this the kind of thing that you can see that realistically we're always going to have in-person events because that's how we're wired, but we're going to need to have some type of virtual component simply because it's going to increase access? Or can you imagine a future where just nobody feels the need to throw a big event in person and everybody's virtual because everybody's gotten used to that as normal?
Yeah, that's a great question. So high fidelity experiences have its own charm, right? The whole in-person meeting, whole in-person spending of time. As a fully remote company, I think we did have a small gathering of all our management team very recently that was all in person. And there was certainly a very unique value that we experienced spending time together. So I would say physical events would be conducted exclusively, and the focus would be on, let's say, hospitality, giving the audience a great experience, and letting them spend time to develop bonds, right? Bonds between each other. Or if it is a very luxury event where you are probably exhibiting a very luxury item, right? So those would be fully physical. A good bulk would be fully virtual, and or let's say hybrid or semi-hybrid or fully virtual. And those would be events which are done for volume participation, where you do not want to exclude anybody in your audience base or anybody in your CRM, right? And digital will give you a lot more benefits of learning more from the interaction, making the content very custom for every participant, right? So there will be advantages of digital, and people would actually want to have a balance of both. So for all your acceleration focused events, people would want to go virtual and digital or hybrid. And for all, let's say, closure focused events where you really want to give a good experience to your client or good experience to your community, for a special segment of the customer, you might want to go physical.
Since I know you study this very closely, what are you hearing about the types of events or the items in events, if you will, that people are willing to travel for versus the ones that people would rather stay home and stop by remotely? I can imagine that, for instance, food and or a very nice hotel, that's the kind of thing that it's a little bit harder to simulate virtually. So that those could be some. But in general, what are some of the reasons that you imagine that people will still go out for those higher value ones rather than use a platform like AirMeet to attend virtually?
I think exclusivity will be a very big factor for people to step out and attend a physical event. Because if at all if it is possible to attend the event virtually, people would incline towards attending it virtually. But if an organizer is having a very special agenda, they don't really want, they want everybody to fully participate physically, then they would have to have something which is exclusive. And that would be a big motivation. That exclusive thing could be around experience, around entertainment. It could also be around maybe just spending time together, discussing something which is not otherwise possible. So the exclusivity element is going to be the big pulling factor for people to step out and attend events in full physical.
And then just because I know I have to let you go in a minute, and this has been really informative, I know that you're constantly, it seems like, iterating on features, and there are a lot of really cool things in the platform already. But what's something that you're very excited about that you're working on for AirMeet right now?
Yep. So what I'm particularly excited about is the participant engagement that is already very high on events that happen on AirMeet. And we are working on networking experiences, the next level of networking experience, which would actually compete with the in-person experience. It would have the efficiency of the digital world where the relevance of people that you are interacting is much, much higher. And it would also have the context in which you can go deep into a conversation and build relationships. So I'm very excited about, our innovation that is planned for the networking.
Yeah, I think it's really cool. And frankly, I like the fact that you acknowledge the higher fidelity aspects of in-person while at the same time saying, how do we recreate that experience in a meaningful way online? And it seems like the features that you're building in are putting you well on your way to making that a reality for a lot of organizations. So hats off in that regard, as they say. And Lett, thank you so much for making the time. This was great.
Thanks for having me. It was a pleasure.
Thanks again to Lalit for making the time. I think it really is true that we got a lot of good things out of these virtual events, but I am excited to go in person and meet people face to face again. And I also think that these hybrid events are going to be a really interesting topic to follow. If you like what you just heard and this is your first time here, be sure to subscribe. Apple Podcasts, Overcast, Stitcher, the choice is yours. And if you're a longtime listener, please remember to rate and review Future Proof, as that's the number one way we get the show in front of people just like you. Special thanks this week to associate producers Jason Stack and V. Cortuccio. Once again, I'm Jeremy Goldman, and you've been listening to Future Proof.